What a beautiful sound. Nothing like a Mustang, is it? Let's move on a little bit, and then we want to come back to World War II in a few minutes. But after World War II, of course, Korea. And you went to Korea again as a recce pilot, and this time you're flying the P-80, right?
That's right. It was a P-80, except it was equipped with cameras. It had no weapons. And consequently, with a nose full of cameras, I flew a full tour in the RF-80, as we called it. And after I had finished that tour, there was a call for Mustang pilots because they were activating a recce squadron with Mustangs, and they wanted experienced pilots to participate in that reaction of a new squadron. And so I was called up, and I became the operations officer. And of course, I didn't have much choice as far as air-to-air was concerned, because in Korea, we were kept very close to the bomb line, or the front line of our own troops. And consequently, there was enough up there to keep everybody busy. And I flew something over 100 missions in the Mustang in Korea, and I never saw an enemy airplane.
Wow. Moving on, after Korea, you were involved in the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was 1962. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, we had a briefing some several weeks before the crisis exerted itself. And I had been sent up to higher headquarters to discuss ways that RF-101 could take pictures of missile sites, which they had evidence was being erected in Cuba. Now, this was sometime in early October, and we spent several days working up missions to cover those. We already knew what they were because we had the beautiful airplane called the U-2 that had mapped the entire island. And the great PIs that we had at the time, those are photo interpreters, had suggested exactly where they were tearing up the dirt to put in these missiles. So we had our targets set up for us, and we planned missions to each and every target that had been erected.
Butch, I know that since you restored this aircraft, you've had the opportunity to meet so many people involved in not only the reconnaissance business, but fighter pilots. What has this airplane taught you?
I guess if anything that has taught me is the great respect that that our veterans deserve.
Amen. With that in mind, how many veterans in the audience? Raise your hands. Be recognized. Thank you so much for your service. Let's get back to World War II just a second here. We were talking in the tent before about all the people you have met, Clyde, and one of them was my friend Gunther Rall. What a wonderful guy he was.
Well, Gunther was, in my opinion, probably the finest fighter pilot that the Luftwaffe had. Certainly one of the finest, and he turned out to be one of the nicest gentlemen that I had ever met. And I admired him so greatly, but he was not the only one. There were several German pilots that I had the pleasure of meeting after the war. And it was not at all difficult for me to change my opinion of those guys that I was so anxious to shoot down back a couple of three, 4 years before. Then they suddenly became people that I greatly admired, because they were all the ones that I met were just the nicest, most interesting people. They held no bad feelings toward us, and we held none toward them. And I met, I guess, at least a half dozen of their top fighter pilots. And I must say that they were truly great men. And of the whole bunch, I would say that Gunther Aull, whom we discussed for a few minutes, was probably not only one of the best pilots, but he was one of the nicest gentlemen I've ever met.
I agree. The sound of freedom. Last year here, right here, I interviewed Gunther. I know it was the last English interview, and maybe the last interview of him. And he passed on a couple of months later, but he was truly a gentleman, and we miss him a lot. But I'd like to get back to Butch a little bit. Let's talk about the restoration process, not so much in money, but in time and effort and what's involved in restoring. You restored several airplanes, including the P-47 and this aircraft. But what's involved as far as time and finding parts, and can you talk a little bit about that?
The Mustang is probably one of the more easier airplanes to do, because there's several individuals that manufacture new parts. I mean, they almost have the capability of now building brand new Mustangs. We spent off and on 12 years working on the airplane. I had a bunch of friends helping me, had a couple gentlemen working with me. It was kind of an on-again, off-again project. We never kept track of the dollars or the man-hours that were spent on it. I think that I was blessed, you know, having a lot of good people helping me. And, you know, two of the guys, the main guys that work for me now have their own business in our hometown, that have turned out probably of half a dozen, you know, top-notch restorations. One of them is out on the flight line today being judged. The one is called Live Bait, who is a friend of Clyde's. And the Warbird community is so small, and there are just so many wonderful people out that are willing to help you. On this airplane here, we were just working out of a T-hanger. We basically did everything to restore the airplane in-house, except the engine, propeller, and the instruments. Everything else we pretty much did ourselves. Prior to doing this airplane, we had restored a T-6. The P-47, it was kind of a, I wouldn't refer to it as a total restoration. But it's just something that I enjoy doing. And maybe I should put a warning out there that all started with cars. And today I'm kind of going back to working on cars again. I just really love, you know, doing this. I mean, it represents a piece of history. When we got the airplane, our sole intention was to try to restore it back to the way it looked the day that it rolled out of the factory. At that time, there was only a few that had been done that way. And you have to remember, this airplane was finished, what, 18 years ago?
Yeah.
So with time and flying time, you know, it's starting to show its age. But if it wasn't through the help of friends and family of mine trying to keep this thing clean and going, I probably couldn't do it by myself.
Clyde, Earlier this week, we had Christina Oles here, General Robin Oles' daughter, and she's written a wonderful book, actually his memoirs, and it's Fighter Pilot, and it's available over there also. But you worked with Robin Oles. Can you talk about your relationship with him?
Well, the first jet squadron that I joined back in July of 1946, Major Oles at that time was the operations officer. And he made certain that every pilot that was checked out knew the airplane and was quite capable in it. And that's where I learned that he was a very special person in many ways. But I worked for him roughly for 2.5 years after that. And I have nothing but admiration for the gentleman that was a major when I knew him, but a general when I last saw him just a short time ago. And I might add something else to Butch's story, is that this particular airplane that's behind me is exactly the configuration that a World War II airplane was. Most of the Mustangs that you see on the ground here have been modified all over the place. They've changed so many things on it. But Butch was absolutely amazing in that he found out exactly what was in the original and made sure that it went into the airplane that he was working on. And that, I think, is one of the amazing things about Little Margaret.